front and then discovering there's a completely new way of looking at them.
Where did Stockholm Syndrome come from?
Basic statistical error.
Attitudes towards sex and sexuality.
The referendum campaign.
Sideways with Matthew Side.
When you bring lots of different perspectives together, you often develop a more complete picture.
Begins next Wednesday afternoon at 4 on Radio 4 and BBC Sounds.
Linda receives an intriguing phone call in the Archers at 7, but now on Radio 4, Joanna Lumley and Roger Allam star as the couple who just love talking to each other.
Conversations from a Long Marriage
by Jan Etherington,
starring Joanna Lumley
and Roger Allam.
Episode 6.
I've been loving you too long to stop now.
The things we do for love. The things we do for love.
Oh, that wasn't very good, was it?
How do you know? You nodded off just after it started.
I was listening with my eyes closed.
It's called sleeping.
Well, I'm fully rested now, so what's on next?
What do you want to watch?
Tell me what you fancy.
I asked you first.
I only want to watch what makes you happy.
But I'm not fussed. Just pick something.
OK. Let's see what's on and make an informed choice. Documentary?
Well, just choose anything and that'll be fine by me.
You say that, but if I said we should watch, A History of Ancient Britain, The Priests of Orkney...
I'd be cock-a-hoop.
Baloney. You'd rugby-tackle the remote out of my clenched fist and switch over to Strictly Come Bake Off.
Is there anything that requires more than one brain cell?
The Planets, with Brian Cox. Jupiter the Joybringer.
Well, that's great, but it's so hypnotic, it sends me to sleep.
Jupiter didn't bring much joy to the rest of the solar system.
You don't say.
Bit of a bully, shoved other planets out of the way. I could tell you a lot about its path of destruction.
Ah, please don't.
Am I boring you?
Quite a bit, yes.
You can also be boring at times.
Can I?
Rampaging on about traffic wardens and processed cheese.
Well, obviously a lovely cheese does not thrive sealed in plastic packaging.
And she's off.
Do you think we're a boring couple?
Everyone argues over what to watch on TV.
I'm not talking about that. It's just we're in a bit of a rut, don't you think?
I don't mind a rut. I find a rut quite comforting. And if I had to be in a rut with anyone, I'd be happy to be in a rut with you.
That's nice but unhelpful.
Got it. When in doubt, Game of Thrones.
No, absolutely not.
Even though I want to.
But I don't.
Not fussed, she said. I never stop you watching grand designs.
You just come in every 5 minutes and say, haven't they got the roof on yet?
Let's find something we both like then.
There's no such thing. We're TV incompatible.
Must be a programme somewhere we can agree on.
But we can never find it because you get cross-eyed trawling through hundreds of choices and give up.
There's a few box sets we haven't finished.
There's a few box sets you don't remember finishing. You never saw the end of Normal People.
Didn't want to. It was rude.
You are so Mary Whitehouse.
A fine woman with strong values. She wouldn't have liked it.
But there's lots of sex in Game of Thrones, and you like that.
That's different. It's not soppy sex.
Normal People wasn't soppy. It reminded me of our early years.
Reminded me of looking for a lost biro. Whenever the story got going, they took their kit off and had a rummage around every nook and cranny.
That was to illustrate their obsession with each other.
I don't need illustrations. I know where the bits go, thank you. Can we get back to the plot?
You actually shouted that at the screen. Jenny said she and Chris watched the first episode, and at the end, he turned it off and said, I don't think this is for us, dear.
I'm with Chris. I hate watching soppy sex on television.
I suppose you'd prefer to watch the news.
I might as well see what's going on in the world.
The same stuff that was going on at lunchtime and on the Today programme this morning.
Why don't you stomp off to bed?
You want me out of the way so you can watch Game of Thrones for the 100th time, don't you?
Not necessarily, but I wouldn't mind a bit of time to myself.
Have all the time you like.
I will. Good night.
What are you going to do?
Blimey. I thought you'd gone. I'll do whatever I want.
And what is that?
Well, given a free choice at this time of night, I'd find something that I know will relax me and make me smile, which is unlikely to be you at the moment.
Dad's army, I suppose?
That is certainly a possibility, but I think I've had enough TV for one night.
Are you going to read?
Probably not. Might pick my nose, howl at the moon, Whatever floats my boat. What's it to you?
Put the headphones on if it's anything noisy.
Bit of radio, I think.
The news headlines. I knew it.
No.
What then?
Why do you need to know? Are you going to censor my radio listening as well? Go to bed.
Just tell me and I'll leave you in peace.
OK. Round the horn.
Brilliant. Gorgeous idea. Shift up.
You said you were leaving me in peace.
I lied.
I'd like to listen to it quietly and alone.
You don't mean that.
Would it make any difference if I did?
None at all. Bring joy.
Stop bouncing around.
I'm awake.
Then go back to sleep.
I've had enough sleep.
Does that mean I've had enough sleep too, just so I know?
You've got a very young back.
Could you get fully awake before you start incoherent ramblings?
I mean it. No, don't turn round. I like looking at your back.
Thank you. Can I turn round now?
No, not yet. Remember when your hair got long and shaggy in lockdown?
Of course. I kept being told I looked like that French bloke on Netflix.
I just lay here thinking you could easily still be 25 from behind.
Was that when you jumped on me?
Quite often, yes.
And when I turned round to face you, you said, forget it, I'll make the tea. I hated it long.
I know. You made me cut it.
Oh, and how I regretted that decision.
In hindsight, I probably shouldn't have used Bonzo Dog's old grooming clippers.
You think? I went from Matthias in Call My Agent to a Rikers Island inmate in 10 minutes. If we hadn't been socially isolating, I'd have had to stay in for a month anyway.
I'd never seen you with a buzz cut.
And never will again. I'm turning round now.
Me too.
Oh, we're doing spoons, are we?
Do I have a nice back?
Beautiful. Strong and sexy.
Do you sometimes lie there looking at my back?
Endlessly. Especially when we're not speaking.
I think a bare back is very alluring, don't you?
Yours certainly is.
I'm with Marilyn Monroe.
A sentence I often say in my dreams.
All she ever wore in bed was Chanel No. 5.
I have to make the sheets damp.
I just don't see any point in nightwear.
That's because you're a shameless hussy.
I did buy you some posh silk pyjamas once. Remember? After Toby was here, on that very hot weekend.
When he suddenly burst into our bedroom. Oh, yeah.
We'd flung off the sheets and were sprawled naked and entwined.
And he said, I'm so sorry, and fainted.
He was having a terrible nosebleed. That's why he came into us. And why he passed out, obviously.
You think that's why? I have my doubts.
Oh, I do love you in the mornings.
Yes, you do. Frequently.
OK. So, cup of tea or what?
Or what, I think. Oh, who rings at this time in the morning?
Scammers? Wrong numbers? Australians?
And friends in need. It's Peter. Hello, mate. How are you doing? All right. Where are you? I'm sure that'll be okay. Of course we don't mind. Peter? Oh, line's gone dead. He's in Carcassonne. Wants to come and stay for a few days.
Again? A few days turned into 2 weeks last time.
I don't think he knows what to do with himself.
So he's still just wandering around, sobbing on friends' sofas.
Getting dumped at the altar would knock most people sideways.
Oh, I know. Poor Peter. When's he coming?
Didn't get that far before the phone went dead, but I reckon in the next 24 hours. So I propose a spontaneous outing today, sharpish.
It's a bit sudden. Couldn't we make it tomorrow?
Then it wouldn't be spontaneous, would it? Also, Peter will probably be here by then.
Oh, OK. Great. What should we do?
This is what's happening. We'll make a day of it. Go into town, have coffee and croissants, take a walk by the river, spot of lunch, catch a movie matinee, and then a drink and early supper at Villa Carlotta.
Ooh, you're so masterful.
You can't say that anymore. Smacks of patriarchy.
Ooh, you're so bossy.
Enough of your insolence, woman. Run me a bath and fetch a warm sponge. Oh, Peter again.
Don't talk for long. Tell him you've got a hot date.
Peter should get here sometime tomorrow, he thinks.
Vague as ever.
Depends on flights.
Did he say why he's coming?
He's just very upset. Kirsty and her new man are planning to take the baby to Canada.
Doesn't he have any say in that?
Should do. That's what he's trying to find out. What are you doing?
Just having a quick bit of toast.
We're going out for breakfast.
I know, but I was peckish. By the time we get into town, I'll be really hungry again. Promise?
Let's go, then.
I've just got to put the washing on.
Do it when we get back.
Oh, don't be daft. It won't take a minute. Did you say you wanted your blue chinos washed?
Yes, but no urgency.
Nip up and get them.
Must I?
Of course. There's no point in doing a half load.
If we don't leave by half past...
We will if you stop talking and go and get them. Oh, hi, Aubrey. Have you? Oh, that's super. But could you make it tomorrow instead? Oh, Dubai. That's nice. Won't it? Well, OK. Yes, that'll be fine. OK, thanks. Bye.
Here you are. Can we go now?
That was Aubrey on the phone.
The plumber?
He's got a new soft-closed loo seat for the ensuite.
That's excellent news.
And he says he wants to fit it.
Good. I'd rather he did it than me.
So he's coming round.
When?
In half an hour.
Didn't you tell him we were going out?
I asked him if he could come tomorrow, but he's off to Dubai.
Well, wait till he gets back.
No. We can't live with a wobbly old seat any longer. And he's going for a month. His daughter lives there.
It's messing up all our plans.
I couldn't say no. We've been waiting ages. He's so much in demand, and he said it won't take more than half an hour.
Put some more toast on, then. We'll skip breakfast in town and just go for lunch before the film.
Yeah, and we'll still have all day, won't we?
Thank you for the days. Those endless days, those sacred days you gave me. I'm thinking of the days.
No, I can't do lunch, Sal. Sorry. It would have been good, but I'm... Especially as what? What garden? When? Is he? Did I? Well, that was before... oh, no, God. No, no, it's OK. If he's got all the plants... Yes, I will. Yeah, better go. Talk later. Bye, Sal.
Right, I've just settled up with Aubrey. Come on, we might get in a brisk stroll along the riverbank before lunch.
Ted's on his way over.
Sal is Ted, why?
You remember he said he'd landscape the border for us when we had supper the other night?
Don't tell me. You told him Wednesday would be fine.
I must have done. I don't remember saying it. But, of course, it didn't matter because we didn't have any plans at the time.
So, have you just remembered?
Sally phoned to suggest she and I had lunch while Ted sorted out the garden. I said, what garden?
OK, so has she phoned him, told him not to come?
We can't stop him. He's stacked the van with all sorts of plants and stuff. He's doing us a favour.
By screwing up our day out.
It's not his fault.
All right. All is not lost. We can show him where everything is and leave him to it, can't we?
No, we can't. I need to talk him through my idea for waves of verbena and grasses. I want a coastal theme. I want movement.
But it's nearly lunchtime.
I know. I said I'd make sandwiches.
For him?
For all of us.
But we're supposed to be having lunch out.
What's more important, a lunch out or getting the garden sorted?
It's not either or. We can get the garden sorted another day.
But it's Ted's day off from the garden centre and he's kindly spending it working here as a friend.
This is ridiculous. No wonder we're in a rut.
What does that mean?
You were complaining we were boring and, as always, I took immediate steps to prove you wrong. Instantly planning a day out, a terrific film, a delicious Italian supper. What could possibly go wrong? Pretty much every bloody thing.
I'm sorry, but we can still see the film. We can talk to Ted while we have sandwiches. And then, yes, we can leave him to it and... Oh, it's going to be awkward with Peter here if Ted's doing the garden.
Why? Peter knows Sally's with Ted. He doesn't mind.
He didn't mind when he was with Kirsty and the baby and they were getting married.
You think he wants to stay with us so he's near Sally?
Oh, I don't know. But I wouldn't be at all surprised. He's obviously in a state. And I know he misses the dog. Peter again?
No.
Who is it?
It's just no one.
Oh, come on. Who?
The wine merchants.
Why are they texting you? Special offers?
It seems we have a delivery arriving between 14:30 and 18:30.
Which you forgot about.
And I've got to sign for it. Don't say anything.
I'll just put the washing in the dryer, shall I?
I can hear you smirking. You should have come in before it started raining.
I certainly should.
Do you want a cup of tea?
No, I do not. Where were you? You said you were going to help.
I told you. I had to put all the wine away first.
I needed you.
I thought you and Ted could manage. I'm sorry I wasn't there.
I'm sorry you weren't there too. I'm very sorry.
OK. I'm coming out to help now.
Don't bother.
What?
Something nasty happened in the hut.
Don't you mean the woodshed, Ada Doom?
It's not funny.
All right. What happened in the woodshed, the hut?
When the rain started, I was about to come in, but Ted suggested we dive in the hut and sort out the plants. And then it started. A grade A, full-on, classic, pervy pass.
He made a pass at you?
We were talking about slugs and rabbits. Don't make a joke.
I wasn't going to.
And how to deter them. He said he loved a raised bed because, and I quote, "It's very satisfying moving things around in the bed until you achieve the desired result without having to bend over."
Isn't that true?
Then he started planting out the big terracotta tub and said, "I just love getting my hands deep down and dirty."
That's the sort of thing gardeners are always saying.
And then he said, "I've got a feeling you like dirty hands too. Am I right?"
Couldn't he just have been sharing his technique for working the soil?
Oh, for God's sake. Don't you think I know the difference between a Monty Don tutorial and a come on?
He wasn't joking.
No, he wasn't.
Right, where is he?
It's okay, it's sorted.
How? What happened?
Well, first of all, I laughed in his face because it was so Benny Hill. And then I said, "You're going out with my best friend." And he said, "I know, but I've always fancied you." Then I asked, "So what do you think's going to happen next?" And he said, "I know what I'd like to happen."
Jeez, what a creep.
Exactly. So I said, "But here's what actually will happen. You will go back to Sally and tell her what you just said to me, OK?" It was offensive, pathetic and extremely bad manners. And if you don't tell Sally, I will tell her. Those are the only two options.
So, is he cowering in the hut?
No, he wimped off. Never to be seen again, I hope. On the plus side, he left all the supplies and plants and a very decent strimmer.
You're taking this very well.
I'm not. I'm actually very cross. Poor Sally. First Peter dumps her, now this slime ball. Ugh, now I need a bath. I feel dirty and not in a good way.
I'm sorry you had to go through that.
I'll survive. Why don't we go out tonight? We've missed the matinee, but we can still make supper at Villa Carlotta. You've booked a table, haven't you?
Certainly have. You sure you feel like it?
Of course I jolly well do. Oh, don't tell me. Peter?
Afraid so. He's got an early flight. He'll be here about 8 tonight.
Well, I don't want to rush home by 8. Text him back and say we're out and we won't be home till late. He can sit on the doorstep or we'll leave a key.
No, I know when I'm beaten. I'm not making any more arrangements for anyone ever again. This is what's happening.
Mm.
We'll stay in, order a takeaway and watch TV.
Just for a change. Hi. Oh, those look nice. But isn't it a bit early to put them out? There might be a frost.
Let's be optimistic and assume there won't be.
Shouldn't the tall ones go behind?
They are going behind. I haven't put them in properly yet.
No, I can see that. Don't forget to water them.
Why are you back? Someone drained the swimming pool?
No, but there were a lot of walruses wallowing up and down and blocking the lanes.
I'm so glad the swim relaxed you and you came back a nicer person.
I'm sorry. It's been an exhausting week, hasn't it? Peter dripping around and Sally sobbing over Ted.
The sobbing soon stopped when you told her he'd try to jump you.
Oh, I shouldn't have had to. But when I found out he said he was leaving her because he was frightened he was falling too deeply in love with her, I just lost it. I felt really bad, but it does help that Peter's here.
He's around there all the bloody time. He's supposed to be helping me with the garden.
I think Sally needs him more than you do. Oh, guess what? We're on our own tonight.
Wow! First time for a week.
Sally's asked him over for supper. So, it'll just be us on our own. Oh, wait, I've got Pilates at 6.
Here we go.
But it's only an hour. I'll come home and I'll put on a floaty frock, light some candles.
While I slave away in the kitchen.
Oh, you know you love it. What are you going to cook?
For starters, the crevettes don't need cooking. Pasta puttanesca to follow?
Mmm, lovely.
And would Madame consider baked peaches and creme fraiche an acceptable pud?
Most acceptable. I'm excited. It'll be like a date. I'll be feminine and fluttery and you'll be attentive and pull the chair out for me.
Want me to peel your prawns as well?
No, but you can spoon feed me peaches. Treat me like fine china.
Of course, my darling. But can you help me shift these pots first?
your peaches were perfect.
Seconds? Oh, no, you've had those. Thirds?
What do you think Peter and Sally are up to?
Yeah, probably taking the dog round the block.
They're so right for each other, but I can't see them getting back together.
Why not?
Too much has gone on. Peter's had a child. Sally's got more independent. They've both changed.
Well, that's good, isn't it? They've had a few life experiences, but maybe they've discovered that they want to be together again.
But they've been apart for 2 years.
Same as us. We split up a few times and got back together once after nearly 3 years.
That incredibly hot summer of 76.
It had been a tough year. We finally learned that there was no way we could be parents.
And all our friends seemed to be pushing out babies like exploding popcorn.
And asking us to be godparents.
I wanted to scream, no, I don't think your baby is the most beautiful in the world. It's nowhere near as gorgeous as ours would have been.
We should have sat down and talked about it properly.
Nobody did therapy in those days.
So we just accelerated apart.
Accelerated?
Well, what would you call it? It was a lot faster than drifting.
We were both really busy.
But most evenings we headed off in opposite directions. You had to see a play or an author's lecture and I had to...
Yes, what did you do every night?
It was a pretty sociable time in Fleet Street and around Soho. Lots of mates.
Drinking buddies?
Some of them were proper friends, like John.
Lovely John. I do miss him.
He was definitely one of the good guys. I'd seen him that night.
The night you decided to leave me?
I hadn't decided anything, but I knew we couldn't continue as we were.
I was quite surprised when you suggested we meet in town and actually go home together.
I walked across Trafalgar Square and I can see you now. You were sitting by the fountain with your feet in the water.
It was the hottest night of the year.
You were wearing that beaded vintage jacket, white T-shirt, denim skirt.
I'd been to a works party, I think.
You looked happy. Swishing your feet around.
I'm always happy when I'm near water.
And I thought, I'm not making her happy.
Perhaps I was looking happy because I was going to meet you.
Were you?
I don't remember. But I do remember you just came and sat beside me, took off your shoes. We both had our feet in the water, not looking at each other. And I thought, something's going to happen. I don't know what it was, but I felt strangely calm. You didn't look at me. You just said, there are people who are very important at different times in our lives, but not everyone is forever. I thought you were going to tell me you were having an affair.
That would have been easy. This was much tougher.
You spoke very seriously. You fall in love and you're happy and you can't imagine it will ever end. Then a pigeon landed beside you and you started talking to it instead of me.
Because I couldn't really look at you.
You looked as if you were in pain.
I was.
You said time passes and one of you, maybe both of you, starts to feel you must have already had the best of times.
Because it sure doesn't feel like the best of times anymore.
And then the pigeon crapped. And it should have been funny and normally we would have laughed together. But we didn't laugh. You just carried on talking.
I had to get to the end. What I wanted to say was, hold on. Because if there's a chance, a tiny chance, that it will get better by itself and you'll love each other again, you want to grab that chance. You don't want to hear the words, I'm leaving you.
So you said it first. You took away the possibility of hearing those words from me by saying them yourself.
I didn't actually say I was leaving you.
You said you were going to Chicago.
You could have come with me.
You didn't ask me.
You didn't say you wanted me to ask you. I think we both knew that it had to happen like it did.
Funnily enough, we went home holding hands. We got on better that night than we had for months.
Didn't seem real. I felt I was looking down on someone else.
Till you left, we were behaving more like brother and sister, being very careful with each other.
It was so hard.
We'd been together for nearly 7 years. I thought it was maybe just that famous itch.
I really felt it was the end. But I left you because you seemed to be okay.
Honestly, I didn't miss you that much at first.
I was pretty busy too.
I suppose if it happened now, we'd be Zooming and FaceTiming and keeping in touch. There weren't even emails then.
The longer we left it, the more it became a past life.
But you did come back.
The contract finished.
You arrived in the middle of my party.
For your birthday, which of course I'd forgotten.
But you bought me a present, a Chicago White Sox baseball jacket.
I knew you liked Americana.
I just stared at you, and you fell to your knees and said, I knew it, you'd have preferred the New York Giants.
I never did get presents right.
Oh, that made me laugh. Everyone was so pleased to see you. Hugs all round.
Except for you. You were quite brisk and jolly.
I was trying to hold it together till everyone had gone. Except you started to leave as well.
I was just another guest. I didn't want to stand around like a needy drip.
Were you glad when I made you stay?
It wasn't a romantic moment. You just said, as we're selling the flat, there's some stuff you've got to sign.
Oh. And then I said, are you going away again? And you said, depends.
I should have added, on you. But I wasn't that confident. I was also jet-lagged.
Tell me again your real reason for coming back.
Forgotten.
No, you haven't.
I need another drink first.
We were sitting on the floor, going through the paperwork, and you just looked at me and started to smile. Then, what did you say?
I have a feeling you're going to grow older in a very interesting and wonderful way. And I want to be there to see it.
No one has ever said anything lovelier than that in the whole world.
But I was so wrong. Look at you. A stooped, toothless crone. Fag on, carpet slippers, shabby old dressing gown.
You can talk. Grumpy old git with a dodgy knee and a terrible taste in TV shows.
That much is true. But I was right about you. Still dazzling. I'm glad I came back.
You've pulled. Race you upstairs.
Oh, put the brakes on. I bet this is Peter saying he's on his way back.
No, it's Sally. Don't wait up. Peter's staying over, and I haven't even shaved my legs, but fortunately he knows me so well. Thank God for familiar territory.
The old ones are the best.
Are you talking about jokes or women?
I'm talking about marriages.
Do you think Peter and Sally will grow old together?
They already have. So have we.
I don't think we've changed at all. We still enjoy a frolic after a lovely dinner.
We'd enjoy a frolic after every dinner if it was down to you.
I hope that'll still be true in 10, even 20 years.
Some things will have to change, even for us.
Are you thinking hot chocolate and separate beds?
Good grief, no.
What then?
Well, when we're in our late 80s, I doubt the foreplay will include race you upstairs.
Okay, so imagine I'm 85 and up for it. How are you going to entice me to bed?
Easy. Hey, baby, fire up the stanner. We're taking a stair lift to heaven. Conversations from a Long Marriage
was written by Jan Etherington.
It starred Joanna Lumley
and Roger Allam.
It was produced by Claire Jones
and was a BBC Studios production.
And time after time you'll hear me say that I'm so lucky.
That was the last in this series, but you can catch up with all the episodes from series 1 and 2 on BBC Sounds.